Hey, this is TJ, and I'm the lead pastor here at Raven Church. Thanks for listening to our weekly sermon podcast. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, and helps you experience life change through Jesus. For more sermons like this, resources, or opportunities to get connected, visit us at Raven Church PTA on Facebook or Instagram. Let me greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah. We are excited. We are amped to be joining with you as a church this morning as we celebrate Heritage Sunday. Hallelujah. We're just celebrating Heritage Day yesterday on the 24th. And we want to give God all the glory and all the honor for how unique South Africa is, you know. So on Heritage Sunday, basically we are recognizing and celebrating the cultural wealth of our nation. We want to give God all the glory and all the honor as we remember the cultural heritage of diverse cultures that makes up the population of our nation, South Africa. So God, we want to give you all the glory for a unique country we are, for a powerful country that we are. We are unique because you are unique, Lord. We are powerful because you are, Lord. Lord, this country is full of potential. This country is full of wealth, not only with diversity only, not only with culture, but with minerals, Lord of God, with ideas, Father. Lord, we thank you for all the wealth in different spheres that you provided this nation with, Lord. Give us the strength and the power to execute these wealths that you've given us so that we can impact the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So we are on part two of our series called Can God, that we have started. And today, I want us to read from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, and verses 10 to 16. Acts 9, verses 1 to 6, and verses 10 to 16. God bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Acts 9, it reads as follows. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill believers. He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in their arrest of any believers he found there, of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verses 10 says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord say, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Ooh, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor for blessing us with your word. Open our spiritual ears and eyes as we receive your word so that we may draw closer to you as you draw closer to us. We give you glory and honor. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when I was living in Western Cape, I was responsible for running a program that was assisting disadvantaged individuals to get them skills and ultimately placing them in workplaces. And when I was busy in these communities running programs, I met a pastor who was hosting us to run one of the programs at his church. And he told me about his past, and when he was telling me about his past, it left me shocked and praising God at the same time. First things first, you know that saying, never judge a book by its cover? It was real on that day when he was sharing me, or when he was sharing with me his story. If I introduced you to this pastor, and a few days after I tell you about his past, you wouldn't believe that we are talking about the same person. I dare you will not believe me if I was telling you that we are talking about the same person. My pastor friend, because of poor family background and structure, he was introduced to selling drugs and gangsterism in primary school at the age of 9. So in his high school, his school years from primary school was interrupted by this life he was introduced to. So he started house breakings and attempted killing in those early years, to the point he was promoted junior in the gang. And he was arrested and known as notorious in his community, that even the police in his community were afraid of him. So for 20 something years, he was just living this life and couldn't get out of it because of a code. And the code was, you get out, we kill you because you know too much. This guy was so feared by even people in prison. So for 20 something years of living this life, he couldn't get out of. One day, a preacher who used to live a similar life invited him to church, right? And what was preached on that Sunday was so powerful that he decided to leave the gang the same day, trusted God for his life, and he never looked back since. As we speak, my pastor friend leads a fast-growing church of young adults and runs a rehabilitation center at a farm. He has a wife and 2 kids. Even to date, people still don't believe that God has transformed him to a man that he is today. I remember him saying to me, Pastor TJ, only God can do this, my brother. This is why I will always serve the Lord and my community until I die, because of the grace God continues to show me. Hallelujah. So his life experience reminds me of the life of Paul, of the life of Apostle Paul. I'm always astonished at the grace God showed Paul. God took this man, saved him by grace, and transformed his life. His life and the life of my friend is evidence enough to spark hope for you and me that God can use us. hallelujah, that God can use us. God can use you. And I remember reading the story of Paul like we did today. Like we were reading Saul's conversion, Paul's conversion. I was thinking how God, of how God can use such a man. How can God use a man like Paul, who was in all form against what God was doing then? He was feared, and not only feared, but he was resented by Christians. Can you imagine being a lead pastor of a church and hearing that Paul was on his way to your city? Can you just imagine that? I mean, this guy was terrifying people. He was resented. He did everything he could to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus. In all this, God still went to this man and reached down in grace. He took him from the condition he was and changed this man's life and used him to add value to the kingdom of God. Paul's ministry is still reaping fruits even in 2022. Isn't that something to give God praise for? That God can still use sinners of sinners, the worst of them all. One thing we got to know is that Paul was not a super Christian, because we might be tempted to think that way when we observe his life. And God can still use you like he did with Paul. You might feel inferior to be used of the Lord and his work, but I want to tell you this morning that Jesus can and will use you if you will make yourself available. Are you available? Are you available? No, you might be asking this morning, can God really use me, Pastor TJ? Can God really use me? And you're asking this because you're looking at your background. You're asking this because you're looking at where you are now. You're asking this because you're looking at how you feel. You disappointed God. You're looking at your past. And I want to take a few minutes of your morning for us to look at the life of Apostle Paul and what we can learn, especially with the obstacles that seems to be in the way. The obstacles of us looking at the past. You know, we look at our past to somehow validate if God can use us or not. We look at our backgrounds to validate if God can use us or not. We look at how we disappointed God to validate if he can use us or not. We look at these obstacles. These obstacles, God has no problem overcoming them by his power and grace, as we will see in the life of Paul. I know I always leave you with three things, but allow me this morning to leave you with four short answers to the question, or your question, can God really use me? And allow me to show you why I say God can, that God can use you. And as we read from verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. So what we're learning from this is your past condition is no obstacle. Your past condition is no obstacle for God to use you. Your past condition, your past situation is not an obstacle. It's not a barrier for God to use you. That's point number one. Listen, Paul was a bad man. The Paul we always refer to when we preach the word was once a bad man. Maybe you don't hear me when I say Batman. Paul was wicked. He was a wicked man. This guy was given authority to do everything in his power to put Christianity to death. Ah, Lord, you guys don't hear me. He was given all authority, all human authority, to do everything in his power to put Christianity to death. He told us something about his past in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. He said, listen, guys, I used to blaspheme against God. I used to disrespect the name of Christ. I persecuted Christians, but God showed me mercy. And he says, I did what I did out of ignorance. I did not know better. God was so gracious to me that he filled me with faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. And in verse 15 of Timothy, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And listen to what Paul says. And he says, and I must say, guys, I'm the worst of them all. He was the worst of them all. Oh, he considered himself as the worst of sinners. Paul admits that he was a murderer and a rebel against the Lord Jesus. But this proves to be no obstacle to the grace and saving power of the Lord. See, God does not care about your past. It doesn't matter whether you were the worst of sinners. Grace can still reach down to you. Hallelujah. When Paul accepted Christ Jesus into his heart, he was changed forever by the grace of God. Your past is no obstacle to your future in the Lord's work. I don't care what you have done before you received Jesus as your Savior. It matters no longer. When he saved you, he washed your past away. You got a brand new start. The foundation verse of our church is 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Hallelujah. I want to bring something else to your awareness this morning. There are three records of your past deeds in the world today. First is the past record you carry in your own mind. You have your past that you carry in your own mind. Secondly, there is the past record carried by those who know what you were before, like your families and friends. Thirdly, there is the past record carried by Satan. He throws your past around to you all the time, right? But may I remind you this morning that even though I may remember my past, even though you may remember your past, even though your friends and family may remember your past, even though Satan can also remember your past, God has forgotten your past, and it is no longer an obstacle for him to use you and me into the future. And even now, God has forgotten my past, and it is no longer an obstacle to him using me now or in the future. My past sins have been forgiven and forgotten. Hallelujah. Your past sins have been forgotten and forgiven. Hallelujah. Micah 7 says, God has compassion on us. He has trampled our sins under his feet and threw them into the depth of the ocean. Oh, what a forgiving God we serve. What a God who has good intentions for us we serve. He is in the business of using people despite their failures. I know I wasn't perfect either when God called me into ministry. I know I wasn't perfect either when God called me into a relationship with him. I was a messed up boy, but his grace was sufficient to reach me, to save me, and transform me to the man I am today. Hallelujah. Listen, Moses was messed up. Moses was messed up. Moses was a murderer, yet God used him for his glory. Abraham was messed up. He was a liar, yet God used him. Jacob messed up. Hallelujah. Jacob messed up. He was a deceiver. He was a fraudster. He was an imposter. But yet God transformed him and used him for his glory. Hallelujah. The list of names of people God used despite their failures is long, but the few we have mentioned are sufficient to show you and me this morning that the Lord can take those who have messed up in their past and mold them and use them for his glory and into the future. Can I get an amen for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your present circumstance are no obstacle. Your present circumstance are no obstacle. What you are going through today in this season doesn't disqualify you from God using you. That's point number two that I want to highlight this morning. What you are going through today, or in this season that you are in today, doesn't disqualify you from God using you. Your present circumstances, your present condition is not an obstacle for God to use you. In verse 2, on Acts 9, it says, he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Paul, on his mission to Damascus to persecute more Christians, this guy was filled with so much resentment. He was filled with so much hatred towards Christians that the only thing he wanted more was to destroy anything that is connected with the name of Jesus Christ. And regardless of his present hate then, the Lord was still able to approach him and change his life to use him for his glory. Hallelujah. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God can do the same thing in your life and mine. He can take us with all that we are carrying, and he can use us for his glory. Just say, Lord, I'm available to be used for your glory. Say it again. Just say, Lord, I'm available to be used for your glory. Listen, we all bring certain liabilities. It's different strokes for different folks. Some bring arrogance filled with pride. Maybe some are bringing a weakness in faith. Hallelujah. Some have a few resources are present, and some are educated, some are uneducated, but we serve a God who can meet us exactly where we are, transform what needs to be transformed in our lives, and use us greatly. Hallelujah. He can use us greatly, like he did with Moses. Moses was an 80-year-old man, 80-year-old man when the Lord called him into ministry. Old age wasn't the only struggle. He was not well-spoken. He was not eloquent. He struggled with fear and opposed the Lord's plan concerning his life. Yet despite all this baggage, God was able to use this man for his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you and me have hope that God can still use us despite our present conditions. He can use us greatly, like he did with the lepers. Remember the lepers in Second Kings chapter 7. They became the unlikely saviors of Jerusalem. And this morning, I need you to know that your present situation doesn't catch God by surprise. He knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows where we are. He can still use your life and mine when we yield to him for his glory. Hallelujah. Paul actually gave us the secret that we need to practice. I call it the secret to yield. And this secret is in Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12:1-2. And it reads as follows. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," this is the secret, ladies and gentlemen, "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." Hallelujah. "This is truly the way to worship him." And this past Wednesday at our Connect, I said this, that behind every promise, there's a condition. Behind every promise, there's a principle. And the principle, which is the key to the promise, it's Romans 12:1. And the principle is, we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to him, holy and acceptable. This kind he will find acceptable. It says, this is truly the way, the key to worship him. And then he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but allow God to do what? To transform you into a new person. Allow him to transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then what? Then you will learn to know God's will. Then you will be aware of God's will for you, which is what? Which is good and pleasing and perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The third thing I want to address this morning with you is, your personal characteristics are no obstacle. Your personal characteristics is no obstacle for God to use you. Your personal qualities might be unfavorable to your success in the worldly standard, but it doesn't mean it's unfavorable, or it doesn't disqualify you from God using you. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 11 to 16. It says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over straight street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again.' 'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, I've heard so many things. Right? I've heard so many things. I've heard so many terrible things about what this guy did to the believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said this.'" Lord, we thank you that even with our character flaws, you still come through for us. "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument.'" Despite the evidence, despite what you think of him, "he is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel." So your personal qualities might be unfavorable to your success in the worldly standard, but it doesn't mean it's unfavorable, or it doesn't mean that it disqualifies you from God using you. Paul was terrifying Christians. And when he got saved, a lot of Christians thought it was a scam. It was a trap designed to find them and their leaders to prove that it wasn't a trap. Barnabas had to go with him and introduce Paul to the leaders. Despite how people viewed Paul's character flaws, God was still able to use Paul in an amazing way. And this morning, we can all agree that Paul's life had a lot of personal characteristics that seemed to be unfavorable for him to do ministry. But even though Paul had a lot of challenges to overcome, God still saw it fit to use him. Some people were even saying, read 2 Corinthians 10:10. You know, some people were even saying, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. They were degrading him. They were looking down on him. And if Paul cared too much about what people were negatively saying about him and starting to compare himself with others, I don't think we would be reading about Paul and seeing the impact that he has made in the kingdom of God. A lot of us have personal characteristics that may make us feel that we cannot be used by God effectively. And that is a lie from the enemy. Listen, my brother. Listen, my sister. God can take that thing that you consider to be a weakness and can use you anyway. If you do not know, God is great at taking weak and foolish things of this world and use them in a great way. In 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. And there is a constant proof of this truth in the Word of God. God used an unknown boy named David to be the greatest king to ever sit on the throne of Israel. God used 12 unknown men from different walks of life to set the world on fire for God. Check Acts 17 verse 6 for this truth. There is constant proof in the Word of God about this. God even used an old man called Moses. He had a speech impediment and God still used him. It doesn't matter your character flaws. If you can be available to be used by him, God can. People of God, regardless who you are, where you come from, what problems you have, what personality flaws you show, the level of education, what level of acceptance by others, God can and will use you if you will make yourself available to him and his work. It's not always about your abilities, but about how available you are to him. He's looking for people who are willing to serve him. Are you one of them this morning? Are you one of them? And lastly, your private concerns are no obstacle for God to use you. I know we have already talked about this, but I can't stress this enough. Your physical and mental weakness that you are struggling with in your life, it's not an obstacle from God using you. Listen to what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians 12. Lord, thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. It says, it reads as follows. It says, even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Then he says, three times a day, three different times, I beg the Lord to take it away. Every three times a day, in the morning, in the evening, and in the afternoon, I pray to God to take this stone away from me. And it's time that I pray that for God to take away this stone from me, God then says to me, my grace is all you need. My power, check this. My power works best in what? My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Says, guys, in the morning I prayed for this thorn to be removed away from me. This thorn that is tormenting me. And when I prayed this morning, God said, hey, all you need is my grace. When I prayed in the afternoon, God still said, Paul, all you need is my grace. In the evening, when I prayed for this thorn to be removed away from me, that Jesus then said again, Paul, all you need is my grace. My power, Paul, works best in weakness. You may look upon yourself as being the weakest link this morning and unable to do much for the cause of Christ. The truth is, God doesn't need us to be strong. God does not need us to be able to stand up on our own 2 feet. When I'm weak, he is strong. Ah, rakashota lamandia. When I'm weak, he is strong. He is saying it's okay to be weak and to be totally dependent upon me and my power. He wants us to have faith in him and a desire to cling to him. Hallelujah. God took the weak and still used them for his glory. Hallelujah. Daniel was just a boy and the Lord gave him the strength to stand against the king of Babylon. All because Daniel was totally yielded to the Lord. Hannah wanted a child and she turned to the Lord in desperation. And God gave her a son who was destined to be great, to be a great spiritual leader to the people of Israel. Mary was a young lady when God asked her to carry the Messiah in her vision room, but she lived under difficult circumstances after that. Yet she was strong in the Lord, and God used her when she gave birth. She gave life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your personality flaws. It doesn't matter how weak you are. God can still use you even today. Hallelujah. Some of you are fighting a lot of things daily. Some are fighting rejection from people you care about. Some are fighting depression. Some are fighting oppression. Others are battling loneliness. Some are fighting feelings of inferiority this morning. Some of you feel so inadequate. You feel not enough to do the Lord's work. Whatever weakness you may carry, it can be an obstacle to you if you allow it to be. It can only be an obstacle if you allow it to be. However, to the Lord, your problem is nothing. He can take you in the midst of your weakness and still use you to confound the strongest of those around you. He can take you in the midst of your weakness and still use you and still confuse and surprise those who had less expectations about you. He can take your life and make it an inspiration to everyone who meets you. Ah, but the secret lies in one word, surrender. Surrender to the Lord this morning. Are you totally surrendered to the Lord? Are you totally surrendered to the Lord and to His will for your life? I want to conclude with this. You asked, can God use my life? Now I want to say to you, yes, He can. However, it must first be to His use. And I have a few questions I need you to consider as we close this morning. Are you really saved? I'm not talking about being in a church member. I'm not talking about being baptized or that you do good deeds. I'm talking about truly being saved. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior over your life? Are you saved? Second question I would love to ask you this morning is, are you fully surrendered? Are you all in on the altar for Jesus? Or are you still holding things back? See, everything about you must be His. The third question I want to ask you as we close is, are you available for Him to use you? I'm asking this question because our lives can be so cluttered with everything that we leave no room for Jesus to get in us and use us. And the last question is, are you willing to be used by the Lord? It's one thing to be available, but another thing to be willing. Our Lord won't force you to serve Him. He won't force you into anything. You must come to the place where you are willing for the Lord to use you. If the answer to any of these questions is no, then the Lord cannot use you until those things are taken care of by His grace. And I want to challenge you this morning to look at your heart and really introspect your heart and that thing that you and do the thing that you know that you need to do right now. Let's strive to position ourselves to a place where the Lord can and will use our lives for His glory. Will you come to Him this morning? Just do the coming this morning and He will do the changing. Lord, we give You glory this morning. We give You honor. We give You adoration. There is no one else like You, Jesus. There is no one else like You. Father, may we not allow our past conditions be our obstacles for You to use us. May we not allow our present circumstance, what we're going through today in this season, to disqualify us from You using us, so Father. We know that You care. We know that You love us. We know that You're looking over us. For You died so that we may have life and life in abundance, Lord. Lord, may our personal characteristics be no obstacle. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, may our private concerns be no obstacle. Lord, may our physical or mental weakness that we are struggling with in our lives be no, let it not be an obstacle from You using us, O Father. We know that You have good intentions for us. We know that You have good plans for us. Your word says, for You alone are the plans You have for us. And the plans You have for us are to prosper us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, save us, Lord. Help us to surrender to You. Help us to avail ourselves to be used by You. Help us to be willing to be used by You. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.